Well, we're looking this morning again at Psalm 18. We started this series a few weeks ago. It is a long psalm, and we're going to be in it quite a few weeks. And we're finding that this psalm teaches us much about prayer. And what I want to do is to summarize what we've learned and then to look at the next section. This morning, we're looking at it from the last part of verse 19 to the end of verse 24. But before we look at that, let me just remind you of what this psalm has taught us about prayer. We've learned in the first place from verses 3 to 15 why we need to give ourselves to a life of prayer. That was the teaching of verses 3 to 15, why we need to give ourselves to a life of prayer. And we saw that we need to give ourselves to a life of prayer because we have very great enemies. And we saw that we have a God who answers prayer, who hears prayer, and who answers prayer. That's the teaching of verses 3 to 15. We have great enemies, but we have a God who hears prayer, and we have a God who answers prayer. And then the last time I was preaching, we were looking at verses 16 to verse 19. And in those verses, we saw how God answers prayer. And we saw that God answers prayer personally. He doesn't delegate the answer to his angels or archangels. He himself answers prayer personally. We also saw that he answers prayers consistently, not just once or twice, but on a consistent daily basis. God is answering prayer. And we also saw that he answers prayer graciously. That's the story so far. This morning, we're looking at verses 19b, the second part of verse 19, on to verse 24. And the theme of this sermon, why God answers prayer. Why God answers prayer. If you're a Christian this morning, I don't know much about you, but this I do know about you. You have had answers to prayer. I know that for a fact because we have a God in heaven who answers prayer. So you have had answers to prayer. Perhaps you've had issues at work and you've prayed about those issues and God has heard and God has answered. Perhaps you've had health issues. Perhaps you've had major health issues. And the church has prayed and you have prayed. And you are here today, and if we could switch on the microphone for each one, you could put up your hand and you could say, I have had answers to prayer to major, major things. Perhaps you've had issues in your family that has troubled you, issues with your neighbors that have troubled you, all kinds of anxieties, and you've come to God in prayer, and you've asked others to pray. And God has answered prayer. Do you know God has answered more prayers than we are conscious of? There are people praying for us, and we don't really know what they're praying for us, and God has answered prayer. I had a remarkable experience where I met with a friend, a very close friend, and we were talking, and he said to me, Sukesh, I pray for you every day. And he pulled out a passage of scripture in Ephesians. And he said, this is my prayer for you daily. And I read that passage and I thought to myself, God has answered every line of that prayer in my life. I wasn't praying that prayer for myself. I didn't even know he was praying that prayer for me. But God had answered that prayer. God answers prayer. Now the question then this morning is why? Why does God answer prayer? Do you notice how the last sentence of verse 19 begins? He says in verse 19, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because. So that's what we are looking at, because. And then he gives a number of reasons, three actually, why God answers prayer. So we're looking at it from that sentence, because, on to the end of verse 24. Why does God answer prayer? Well, there are three reasons in this passage. The first reason is this. God answers prayer because he delights in his people. God answers prayer because he delights in us. That's what David says. I'm only reading what David says in verse 19. Actually, 16 to 19, he talks about God answering prayer. And he says from 16, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me. Verse 19, he brought me out into a broad place. You see how he's recording how God has answered his prayer, how God sent help from on high, how God drew him out of many waters, how God rescued him from his strong enemies and from those who hated him, and how God brought him out into a broad place. And then he says, because he delighted in me. Now, this is one of those great, great lessons that we as Christians need to learn, that we are the beloved people of God. And God delights in us. God is thrilled with us. God's heart is filled with joy towards us. We must never think that God is always disappointed in us. And God is always, you know, looking down at us and saying, well, I wish you were a better person, and I wish you would live a better life, and I wish you would do more for me. And well, I suppose I'll have to tolerate you, and I'll have to put up with your teeny efforts and so on. We mustn't think like that. I know some people had parents who treated them like that. Some people had parents whom they could never please. And whatever they did, the parents are always, well, I suppose that's all right, but you could have done better, you know. I mean, that isn't quite perfect, you know. And some people had parents like that, and we then project that upon God, and we think, well, God must always be disappointed in me. And God must always feel, oh, dear. Now, the Bible's testimony, and we've got to listen to the Bible. Don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to yourself. Listen to the Bible. And the Bible says that God delights in his people. A few months ago, we looked at Zephaniah chapter 3 and how it says in Zephaniah chapter 3 that God rejoices in his people and God sings with delight upon his people. And God finds his people a pleasure and a delight to his heart. These are biblical words. This is not my philosophy. This is the Bible. And here, David, you see, he talks about how God has answered his prayers, how God sent help from high, how God took him and drew him out of many waters, rescued him from his enemies. Why? Because he delighted in me. Why does God delight in us? Well, because God loves us. We delight in the one whom we love. Wasn't it wonderful? We had a lesson from Esther this morning. Now, we had that story that Esther approached the king. And as Mike said, in those days, approaching the king was no minor matter. If you approached the king in not the right way, you could have your head chopped off. But the king... And I read that passage this morning when Mike told me about how he was going to speak about Esther. And I find that passage very moving. Let me just read it to you. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room. And when the king saw Esther standing in the court. Now listen to this. When the king saw Esther standing inside the court, she won favor in his sight. Another way of translating that Hebrew phrase, he delighted in her. She was delightful to him. That is another way of translating Esther chapter 5 and verse 2. She delighted him. Because you see, earlier in the book of Esther, we read that the king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the women. The king loved Esther. You know the story. He was looking for a queen. And they went out into the country and they brought in the most beautiful women. And they spent months and months beautifying them. And he saw Esther. There were all these beautiful women. They were the most beautiful women in the land. And he saw Esther. Right. And all the others meant nothing to him. He had no time for them. He only had time for Esther because his heart went out to her. He loved this woman. And he delighted in her. She was the joy of his heart. And he took her into marriage. And they got married. And he obviously delighted in her because the incident when she approached him was quite a bit later. And they obviously had a lovely marriage where they loved, he loved her, you see. He didn't stop loving her after a few months. He didn't say, well, I think you're a disappointing person. He obviously continued to love her and love her. And she continued to be the delight of his heart. And one day she was there in her royal robes, standing in the inner court of the throne room. And all his servants and all his ministers and all his civil servants, officials are all there and they're all talking to him about the royal business and this issue and that issue. And yes, 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 he's listening. And then he looks and there in the inner court is the queen. And he stops listening to everybody else. They're still talking. He can't hear them. Because his heart is thrilled. That's my wife. And he loves his wife. And she looks beautiful in her royal robes. And you imagine him. Now, shut up, you guys. The queen is here. The one whom I love is here. I don't want to hear about state business. I want to talk to my wife. Clear my room. Clear the throne room. And bring my wife in. I want to talk to her. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's what happens when we come to God in prayer. God delights in us. God set his love upon us. He set his love upon us in eternity. And God proved his love for us by sending his son into the world to die for us. And God knows everything about us. He knows all the sins that we have committed. He knows all the sins that we are going to commit. And yet he has resolved to love us. And he is delighted in us. Why does God answer prayer? Because he loves us and he delights in us. Your child comes to you and asks for something. And you're not going to turn them away. You're not going to start shouting at them. You love your children. They're the delight of your heart. You're thrilled when your children come. You come home from work and your children are there. And your heart is filled with joy. Your child is there. And your child asks you for something. You don't say, what on earth are you talking about? It's wasting my time. You're thrilled that your child has asked you for something. And you're delighted to give it. Because you love your child. And God loves his people. And God is delighted in his people. That is why he answers prayer. So the first reason, why does God answer prayer? Because he delights in us. But there's a second reason in this passage. Why does God answer prayer? And the second reason is, because he has pronounced us righteous. Because he has pronounced us righteous. Look at verse 20 and how David continues this passage. His first reason at the end of verse 19, because he delighted in me. His second reason at the beginning of verse 20, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. Verse 24, so the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, righteousness and righteous, of course, are important biblical words. And the Bible tells us what it means to be righteous, and the Bible tells us how we become righteous. And the Bible says to be righteous means that we are accepted by God. that God has declared us legally righteous. God has said to us, there is no guilt, but we are righteous in his sight. And how do we become righteous? It is through faith alone in Christ alone. And that was David's experience. We know it was David's experience because the Bible tells us that. So I'm not imposing my theology on Psalm 18. Later, when you have time, read Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 speaks about David. And Romans chapter 4 tells us how David was righteous before God. And Romans chapter 4 tells us explicitly that David was righteous before God because he had faith in the Messiah who was to come, in the Savior whom God had promised. David wasn't righteous in his own works. He wasn't righteous through his own efforts, through his psalm writing, through his musical skills, through his military skills, or through his kingly skills, or anything like that, his rulership skills. He was righteous because he trusted in God and in the Messiah who was to come. And God had declared him righteous. God had accepted David, and God had blessed David. David was a child of God. He was a man after God's own heart because God had pronounced him legally righteous. Justified is, of course, the technical term. And that's what the epistle to the Romans is all about. We are justified in the sight of God through faith alone, in Christ alone. Are you a Christian this morning? Perhaps you're listening to me later on disc. Are you a believer? Then you are righteous in the sight of God. You have no sin to your account. You have no guilt upon your head. You have nothing that God has against you. There isn't a list of sins, a list of charges that God has against you. There is no such thing. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. Jesus, by his death on the cross of Calvary, has washed away your sins, has removed your guilt. When he hung upon that cross, he took your sin upon him, and he bore the punishment of God on behalf of you, and he took your punishment and your justice. He paid for it on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ's death has made you righteous in the sight of God. Christ's death was on behalf of his people, was in the place of his people. And through his death, he paid the penalty for his people, removed their guilt, and made them righteous. And all of God's people in the Old Testament, Abraham and Moses and Aaron and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah, all of them were righteous in the sight of God because they all trusted in God who was to send his servant. And we are righteous in the sight of God because we have trusted in Christ, the Messiah of God. So we've seen two reasons why God answered David's prayer. He answered David's prayer in the first place because he loved him and delighted in him. And he answers our prayer because he loves us and he delights in us. Secondly, he answers our prayer because he has declared us righteous. But then there's a third reason why God answers prayer. This is perhaps the most important point this morning, and I'd like you to listen carefully. Why does God answer our prayers? Thirdly, God answers our prayers because he deals with us according to the desire of our hearts. Because he deals with us according to the desire of our hearts. I want you to look at the passage from the second half of verse 20. Look at what David says from verse 20 onwards. He says, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. And then he says, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. So the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Now remember when David wrote this psalm. David wrote this psalm at the end of his life. That's not speculation, that is Bible. 2 Samuel, right at the end of 2 Samuel, this whole psalm is there. So David is now at the end of his life, he's about to die, he's looking back at his life, and he writes this psalm of his experiences with God, and he says, I have kept the ways of the Lord and not dealt wickedly or departed from my God. I have kept my hands clean. I have been blameless. Now what's going on here? We know about David and we know the kind of life David lived. We know about Bathsheba. We know how David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And we know how he murdered her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And we know that when his son Amnon raped David's daughter Tamar, David took no action. Do you know this happened? This wicked son of David, Amnon, violently raped this innocent girl Tamar, and David took no action. How then, with all this behind him, how then can David say that Lord dealt with me according to the cleanness of my hands? I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. His rules were always before me. His statutes were before me. I did not put them behind me. I was blameless before him. How could David say such a thing? Well, you see, David had learned a very, very important lesson right at the beginning of his life, and it's a lesson we need to learn. And the lesson that David learned is this: God does not look on the outside, man looks on the outside, God looks at the heart. Let me tell you about David, and about Peter, and about Paul, and about Sukesh, and about all of you. If you're a Christian, you have a heart that loves God. You have a heart that desires to worship God, to serve God, to honor God, and to obey God. Those are the desires of your heart. Now, in this sinful world, we don't always carry out the desires of our heart. We frequently fall into sin, sometimes into very serious sin. But our hearts still have a desire to love God, please God, obey God, and honor God. The heart doesn't change. When David fell into sin with Bathsheba, his heart didn't become wicked. He still had a heart that desired to love God and please God and honor God and obey God. But he fell into sin. When he had Uriah the Hittite killed, his heart didn't change into a totally wicked heart. He still had the heart that loved God and wanted to obey God. And when he didn't discipline Amnon for raping his sister, he didn't suddenly become a wicked man, a man of the devil, possessed by demons. He still had a heart that desired to love God and please God and obey God. But this is how it is in this world. This is the Christian life. This is the Christian. We have a heart that desires to love God and please God and obey God and honor God. But we frequently fall into the worst of sins. And I want you to remember the point I'm making here. God does not deal with us according to our sins. God deals with us according to the desires of our heart. Now that first line, I'm quoting David. He does not deal with us according to our sins. That is Psalm 103. And he wrote those words. David says in Psalm 103, he does not deal with us according to our sins. He didn't deal with David according to his sins. He dealt with David according to the desires of his heart. And a Christian can be a totally messed up person. And a Christian can have all kinds of addictions and all kinds of habits and all kinds of terrible ways. Please, I'm not excusing sin. I'm not making light of sin, and I'm not giving you license for sin. I'm not saying that if, as long as your heart is in the right place, you can go and live like the devil. I'm not saying that. I won't encourage anybody to sin. Flee sin. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Run away from sin. Have nothing to do with sin. But I am trying to tell you this, that God does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us according to the desires of our heart. I think the greatest illustration is the Apostle Peter. You know, Peter loved Jesus. That is the one thing we can say about Peter. He loved Jesus. And when Jesus said that I'm going to be taken hold of by evil men and they're going to crucify me, and Peter said, no, Lord, they're not going to do that to you. And when Jesus said, you will all run away, Peter said, no, Lord, the others may run away. I will never run away. He really meant it. He wasn't a hypocrite. When he said to Jesus, I will never betray you. I will never run away from you. I'll never leave you isolated. I'll always stick by you. He really meant it. Those were the desires of his heart. But in a moment of weakness, he denied Christ three times. Now, the first meeting between Jesus and Peter after that denial, Jesus doesn't say to Peter, you denied me, because God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Is there still in your heart, Peter, a desire to love me and honor me and obey me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus knew. And look what Jesus did with Peter. He used him mightily. Read the book of Acts. Day of Pentecost. Peter preaches. 3,000 are converted. Peter is used mightily in the book of Acts. Because you see, Peter's desire was to love Christ, obey Christ, honor Christ. That was the desire of his heart. Yes, he fell into sin. And even in the book of Acts, he fell into sin. When he was in Antioch and some Jews came, he broke away fellowship with Gentiles and began to eat with Jews only. And that was a sin, and Paul had to confront him in public. So Peter, you see, still had moments of weakness. And he even denied the gospel there in Antioch. But that didn't mean he was a wicked man. The desire of his heart was to love Christ and honor Christ. But we live in a sinful world. We still have sin in us. And we frequently get tempted. And we frequently fall. But God deals with us according to the desires of our heart, and not according to our sins. That is why at the end of his life, when David looked back, David says that God answered his prayer, because he says, the Lord dealt with me according to the cleanness of my hands. I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Look at that phrase in verse 21. I have not wickedly departed from God. You fall into sin, but that's not a wicked departure from God. He fell into sin, yes, but his heart was to please God. So God answers prayer because he loves us and delights in us. And God answers prayer because he has pronounced us righteous through faith. And God answers prayer because he deals with us according to the desires of our heart and not according to our words.